स्वाम विष्णु पदाय कृष्ण प्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी नितनामिनी नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देश तारिणे जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। Okay, so today we'll continue with the 13th chapter. We saw that Vidura had expressed his desire to hear about the Prachetas, and when Maitreya Muni started describing the genealogical line of Dhruva Maharaj, because the Prachetas come in that genealogical line, he continued to describe the genealogical line of Dhruva Maharaj, and in that genealogical line comes a great Rajarshi by the name Anga. And he described that how this Anga's son was Vena, and Vena was such a tyrant that Anga got totally disgusted, and with all his efforts to change Vena, you know, having failed, disgusted Anga leaves to the forest. And he also mentioned that he became such a tyrannical king that the sages got completely disgusted with him and they killed. So at this point, Vidura, becoming very curious, asks, how is it that, how is it that King Anga, who was such a gentleman, who was such a great devotee of the Lord, who was a Rajarshi, how is it that such a great person get a son like Vena? Okay, that was the first question. That was the first doubt he had. And then, second thing that he asks is, how could the sages, who are Dharma Kovida, who exactly knew what was Dharma and what they are supposed to do, what they are not supposed to do, how could those sages resort to such an extreme step of killing, and that to killing a king? Because it is understood that the citizens should not even disrespect a king who is sinful. What to speak of killing him? And these are Dharma Kovida sages. And these are not some, you know, Brahma Bandhus. They are like proper Brahmanas and proper sages. How did they resort to such an extreme step of going and killing a king? So therefore, my dear Brahmana, please speak about this story of Vena. This seems something very interesting here. How did he inspire the sages to go to such an extent? So now Maitreya is going to answer this question. So this is where we ended yesterday, so we will continue from where we left off. So Maitreya continues the story. Maitreya uvacha angoshvamedam rajarshir ajahara mahakratum na jagmur devatas tasmin ahuta brahmavadibihi. Rajarshi Anga, Ajahara Maha Ashwamedam Kratam. So Anga once performed, so he is telling the story now, the secret behind this whole episode of Vena. Once upon a time, Anga decided to perform a Ashwamedha Yajna. Ajahara Maha Ashwamedam Kratam. Devata Brahmavadibhi Ahuta Na Ajagmuhu Tasmin. Tasmin, in that Ashwamedha Yajna, Devataha, the Devatas, Brahmavadibhi Ahuta, even though being invoked by the sages, by the Brahmanas, the Devatas did not come to accept their share. Which means in those days when a sacrifice was performed, the Devatas used to personally come and accept their share. Okay? So, but they didn't come. And Prabhupada here in the purport writes, the Vedic sacrifices are not ordinary. The demigods used to personally come and attend those sacrifices. And second thing he says, that the sacrifice the animals used to get new life. And the third thing is, the brahmanas were qualified to chant mantras and revive the animals. But in this age of Kali, the brahmanas are incapable of doing any of these three things. Therefore, the only yajna that is practical is Sankirtan yajna. As always, wherever sacrifice is mentioned, Prabhupada brings us to the same point. Like that. So, interestingly, at least in today's day and age, if really the devatas come, that would be a very interesting thing. But Vena found it very interesting that the devatas did not come. Anga, sorry, not Vena. Today's day and age, if actually devatas come, no one would probably take it so seriously, because they would not even believe that they are devatas. So, then, Tamo Chorvismitastatra Yajamanam Atartvijaha Havimshi Hoyamanani Nate Grananti Devata. Vismitaha, he was very surprised. Ata Ritvijaha Tam Uchuhu, very surprised. The sages or the priests, they spoke to the king Yajamanam, who was the Yajaman, the sponsor of the sacrifice. The priest spoke to King Anga. Nate Grananti Devata, the devatas are not accepting your oblations. Havimshi Huyamanani, the oblations that we have offered, the devatas are not they are not accepting these offerings. Rajan Havimsha Dushtani Shraddha Vasaditani Te Chandam Syayata Yamani Yojitani Dhritavrataihi. Rajan, my dear king, Havimshi Adushtani, these offerings that we are offered, so basically they are clearing their side that the problem is not with us. Havimshi Adushtani, the offerings are not contaminated. That could not be the reason. Shraddhaya Asadutani Te, and they were collected with faith. It's not that we don't have faith in these sacrifices, we have collected it with faith only. Chandamsi Ayatayamani, the mantras are not weak mantras, proper mantras we have also chanted. Yojitani Dhritavrataihi, and very determined, dedicated brahmanas have been engaged in performing these sacrifices. So from our side there is no mistake. Okay. So this is a very nice, gentlemanly way of mentioning that problem is with you. Okay. So they are clearing off their side. So Prabhupada writes in the purport here, for a mantra to be successful, the mantra has to be proper and it has to be properly pronounced also. But the brahmanas of Kali Yuga are not proficient in either chanting the proper mantra or in properly pronouncing it. Therefore, the only practical yajna is Sankirtan yajna. Even if chanted improperly, it has lot of potency. So that's why it is mentioned that in Madhurya Kadambini, Srila Vishnu Charita Guru mentions that how this path of bhakti, he quotes this verse, Dhavan Nimilyava Netre Naskalen Na Patediha. In this path of bhakti, if even one runs with his eyes closed, he will not trip and he will not fall. Commenting on that, he discusses about two kinds of, what exactly does it mean? He talks about two kinds of offenses. Prabhupada also in one of these purports, the next purport only Prabhupada writes, similarly in devotional service, the practitioners should avoid seva aparad. So, Vishnagar Vidagur categorizes offenses into two types. One is namaparat, other is sevaparat. Okay? But it is not that we may think that namaparat means offenses committed with the holy name and sevaparat means offenses committed while performing one's seva. Even though the name may suggest like that, but actually it is not like that. Okay? Seva aparad indicates unintentional mistakes. It could be while chanting the holy name also. Okay? Or during some seva. And nama aparad indicates the more serious mistakes which are which can be attributed to the attitude of the practitioner. So it is not that seva aparad is an aparad of seva and nama aparad is an offense to the holy name. It's not like that. The nama aparad kind of aparads are the more serious offenses which can be attributed to the attitude of the practitioner. Like for example, namno baladyasya hi papa buddhi. If one commits a mistake or an offense or a sinful activity and he thinks that chalega, anyway by practice of my spiritual activities it will be nullified. If he thinks like that, then it becomes a namaparad and it becomes extremely difficult to nullify namaparad. It's a very serious offense because it is connected to the attitude. But otherwise, any mistake done inadvertently in bhakti is not punished. So Vishnagati Dagur writes that seva aparad means there is no seva aparad for a sincere practitioner, he says. Not that such a practitioner does not commit mistakes. He may forget to perform his achaman or he may forget to perform his Gayatri mantra or something like that. But if he is a sincere practitioner, the moment a sincere act of devotional service is performed, immediately that seva aparad is nullified. Seva aparad means unintentional performance. However grave it may be. However grave it may be. It may be a really serious offense. But if it is done unintentionally, he is not penalized. That is the meaning of dhavan nimilyava netre. He knows that he should not be performing it, but inadvertently the offense gets committed. Then it is excused the next moment he performs a sincere act of devotional service, whatever limb it may be, that seva aparad is nullified. But in the case of jnana, karma, etc., this cannot be accepted. One mispronunciation inadvertently will change the whole result of that yajna only. But in devotional service, inadvertent committing of offenses is not at all taken seriously. Inadvertent. But if one thinks that अरे मैंने आज आचमन नहीं किया, चलेगा ना, अभी एक माला कर लेता हूँ, हो जाएगा. If that attitude comes, then immediately that seva aparad gets escalated to the level of nama aparad, and it becomes a serious offense. So when does seva aparad stay as a seva aparad? Then as soon as one realizes that a seva aparad has been committed, he feels repentant. He feels genuinely repentant. Then that repentance washes away that seva aparad. But if he thinks that chalega, anyway I am going to chant na, then it becomes the seventh offense. Namno baladyasyahi papa buddhi. So if you see, all the 10 offenses against the holy name, that which come under the category of nama aparad, are more or less attitude related offenses. Blaspheming a devotee and so on. So these are serious offenses. But inadvertent committing of offenses which come under the seva aparad category, they are excused for any sincere practitioner like that. So here, but that is not the case in the case, that is not the case with the other paths, Ashtanga Yoga or Karma Yoga or Jnana Yoga. You know, inadvertent mistakes are not really excused because those practitioners are, you know, solely dependent on their own capacity to perform the act. So that's what is indicated here. Even that's what Prabhupada is writing here. Therefore, the only practical yajna is Sankirtan yajna. Even if chanted improperly, it has lot of potency. Even if chanted improperly. So in that section, and Vishnagada Dagur writes that there is absolutely no prerequisite for bhakti. Even faith is not a prerequisite for taking up to bhakti, prior faith. Whereas for all the other practices, karma, jnana or ashtanga, one has to have prior faith to take up to that process. But for bhakti, there is no need for prior faith, no need for prior purity also. One can still take up to bhakti. Kirata, honandra, pulinda, pulkasha, no need for purity. Prior faith is also not needed. Rather, without faith, performing bhakti creates faith. That is what is Ajnat Sukriti, isn't it? Ajnat Sukriti is what matures into Shraddha. Whereas for the other practices, you must have faith to start with. Whereas in the case of bhakti, those activities itself generate faith that is needed to carry the practitioner. Like that. So, that's what here Prabhupada is also mentioning here in the purport. So basically here, the sages are, the priests are telling, my dear king, there is nothing wrong from our side. We chanted the right mantras, they were chanted properly by dedicated brahmanas, we collected the offerings, pure offerings, and so from our side, no problem. Navidameha devanam helanam vayamanvapi yanna grananti bhagam swan ye deva karma sakshinah. Navidama, actually we do not know. Vayam anuvapi devanam helanam. We do not know what insult we have committed to the devatas. Rather, it literally means we don't think we have committed even little bit of an offense towards the devatas, because of which they are not here. So I don't think from our side we have committed any offense. Karma sakshinah. Here the devatas are addressed as karma sakshinah. They exactly know all our activities. Okay. So therefore, they are aware of all our activities, and one of us have committed an offense and it's not us. Okay. So therefore they have not come. Yet na graminti swam bhagam, because of which they are refusing to accept their share. Something wrong. And it's not us who have committed that wrong. So Prabhupada writes in the purport, it is indicated here that if the priests are negligent, the devatas do not accept their share. Similarly, in devotional service, the practitioners should avoid seva aparad. If we do not, then their lordships do not accept the offerings. Devotees should follow the prescribed method and not manufacture their own method. Like that. So prescribed method should be followed. If they do not follow, then it becomes a seva aparad. If it is inadvertent, it's a seva aparad. If it's advertent, then it becomes a nama aparad. Like that. So Maitreya continues the study. Maitreya vacha ango dijavata shrutva yajamana sudurmanaha tat prashtam yasrijadvacham sadasyan tad anujnaya. Dijavata shrutva, hearing the words of the brahmanas, yajamanaha anga, anga who was the sponsor of the sacrifice, sudurmana, he became very depressed. Tad anujnaya, taking permission from all the assembled persons, tat prashtam. He spoke to the assembled persons to inquire about this. Actually, Srila Vishnu Dagar mentions that the yajaman is supposed to be silent during that sacrifice. But this is a special case, so he took permission from the authorities and then he spoke to the assembly.
Nagacchantyahuta deva nagranante grihaniha sadasaspatayo bruta kimavadyam maya kritam.
So he says, Ahuta Deva. The devatas, even though they have been called, na agachanti, they are not coming. Na grananti grahaniha, and they are not accepting their share of sacrifice. Satasas patayaha, O leaders of the assembly, bhuta kim avadyam mayakritam. He understood. So therefore, my dear Brahmanas, please tell me what mistake have I committed. Because it is clear that you have not committed any mistake. So definitely it must be me. So what mistake have I committed? Please tell me, O learned Brahmanas. Like that he is requesting them. Sadasaspataya ochuhu. So they say, they are going to now tell what mistake Anga has done. Naradeveha davato nagam tavan manakstitam astyekam praktanam magam yadiha drik yadihe driktvam apraja. So he says, they say, O Naradeva, O king, iha, in this life, bhavato na agham tavad manakstitam. In this lifetime, you have not committed even a slightest sin. Okay. Asti ekam praktanam agam. But from one of your previous lives, there is one sinful act that you have committed. Must have been a very exalted personality. They say that in this life, you have not committed even a slightest sin. Yeah, probably even in the mind, because it's Satya Yuga. Huh? Yeah, even in the mind. But there is one sin from your previous life. Yatvam idrit iha apraja, because of which you are without a progeny in this life. And because you are without a progeny, the devatas are not coming to accept their share. So that's what they are telling here. So his not having a son is due to some past sin that he had committed in the previous, in one of the previous lives. Tata sadaya badrante atmanam suprajam rupa ishtaste putra kamasya putram dasyati yajyabuk. Tata, therefore, my dear king, atmanam suprajam sadaya, therefore produce a good son for yourself. Okay. Of course, that one sentence would make no sense, because he is telling that they just told that because of your one past sin, you do not have a son. So now how would you get a son if that sin is still there? Badrante, all fortune will be yours. Yajnabhuk, the enjoyer of the sacrifice, the Supreme Lord, te ishtaha, being worshipped by you, putram dasyati, he will bestow a son to you, putra kamasya, and to you who are desirous of a son. So they are telling that the way to get a son is worship the Supreme Lord. And they perform the Pumsavan sacrifice. Okay. So worship the Supreme Lord, and the Supreme Lord, being very pleased with your worship, he will come and give you a son. And when the Supreme Lord comes, all the devatas have to come. So they will come. So your desire will be fulfilled. So therefore, worship the Supreme Lord and ask for a son. That's what they are suggesting to Anga. Tatasvabhage satatasvabhaga dheyani grahishyanti divaukasah yajyajna purusha sakshat apatyaya harirvratah. Tata, after you worship the Supreme Lord, or after the Lord appears and gives you a son, divaukasah. Divaukasah means residence of heaven, that is the devatas. Okay. Swabhagedya swabhagadeyani grahishyanti. Then if the Supreme Lord comes, then what reason can the devatas give for not coming? They will definitely come to accept their share. Yet Yajna Purusha Hari Sakshad Apatyaya Vrutah. Because the Supreme Lord Himself has personally appeared to give you the son, what reason can the devatas give for not coming? So they also will definitely come and accept their share, and by that your Ashwamedha will also be complete. You will get your desire, two of your desires will be simultaneously satisfied. The Supreme Lord will come and give you a son, and the devatas will come and accept their share of sacrifice. So both will be satisfied. So therefore perform a sacrifice to, so put this Ashwamedha Yajna on hold and start this Pumsavan Yajna, and the Lord being pleased will come and give you, and because the Lord has come, the devatas will also come, and simultaneously your Ashwamedha Yajna will also be over. This is the suggestion that they are giving to Anga. So Prabhupada writes in the purport, the sacrifice is meant for Lord Vishnu and not for the devatas. Therefore, when Vishnu comes to the arena, naturally all the devatas also follow.
Tamstan kaman harir dadyat yanyan kamayate janah aradito yataivesha tata pumsam phalodayah.
Araditah, being worshipped, harihi dadyat yanyan kamayate janas tamstan kaman. Being worshipped, the Lord bestows whatever desires that a person who is worshipping him has. Whatever desire he has, the Lord bestows all those desires. Aradito yata eva eshaha tata pumsan phalodayaha ye yata mam prapadyante tamstataiva bhajamyaham. As much as one worships the Supreme Lord, to that extent one will receive the results. So therefore, worship the Supreme Lord sincerely and you will get, your heart's desires would be fulfilled. Like that the Brahmanas are suggesting to King Anga. So Prabhupada in the purport quote, he says, of course Krishna says, Yeyatamam prapadyante tam stataiva bhajamyaham. That is, Krishna gives full freedom for the jiva to act in any way, to pray in any way, to ask for any benediction. But a devotee understands that the best is to surrender unto Krishna completely. This is the difference between a devotee and a karmi. A devotee, he is without sense gratificatory desires. He serves the Supreme Lord for the pleasure of the Supreme Lord. But a karmi worships the Lord for his own sense gratification. Okay. Therefore, Prabhupada says that the intelligent person is the devotee, because he perfectly understands that the ultimate, even though the Lord reciprocates with whatever desires we have, but still the best thing to do is to completely surrender oneself to the Supreme Lord. Like that.
Iti vyavasita vipras tasya rajya prajataye purodashan niravapan shiti vishtaya vishnave.
Iti vyavasita, deciding in this way, vipraha purodashan niravapan, the brahmanas offered purodasha shiti vishtaya vishnave unto Lord Vishnu. Purodasha is that which is offered during this pumsavan sacrifice, like something like putra kameshti yajna.
Tasya rajnyah prajatayo, so that the king could get a son, so they changed the sacrifice.
Okay, the sacrificial arena was ready, everything was ready, but they performed a different sacrifice. Pumsavan sacrifice they performed. So Prabhupada commenting on this word shipi vishtaya, he says Shipi means sacrificial flame. Lord Vishnu is called a Shipi Vishta as he is present in those flames while offering oblations. Like that.
Tasmat purusha uttastau hema malya malambarah hiranmayena patrena siddham adaya payasam.
Payasam. So, Tasmat, thereafter, after they offered that sacrifice, Purodasha, after they offered the oblations, Purushaha, a Purusha, Hema Mali, wearing a golden garland, Amala Ambaraha, and very spotless white cloth, Hiranmayena Patrena, Siddham Payasam Adaya Uttastav. So, a person wearing a golden garland and a spotless white cloth came out of the sacrificial fire carrying a carrying payasa in it. Okay, sweet rice. So he came out of that flame. Savipranumato Raja Grihitvanjalina Grihitvanjalinodanam Avagrahyamudayutta Pradatatnya Udaradihi. So here Anga is addressed as Udaradihi. Shileshnath Chakravarti Thakur translates Udaradihi as wise, but Prabhupada translates Udaradihi as magnanimous. Okay. So that wise king was very magnanimous. Vipra Anumataha, taking permission from the Brahmanas, Grihitva Anjalina Odanam, he took the rice in his hands. Avagrahya Mudayutaha, with great pleasure he smelled that rice. Patnya Pradat, and gave it to his wife for eating. Okay. So Prabhupada here commenting on this, he says that here Anga is addressed as Udaradihi, means very liberal, liberal minded, because Sunita, his wife, was not fit to accept this benediction of a child, but still he gave it to her. Therefore he is addressed as very liberal minded. She should not have taken, because her accepting this Purodasha for her accepting this payasa for a son would result in an improper praja. But still, he was little liberal minded, so his desire for a child overcame that discrimination was covered. So he still gave it to her. It looks like maybe. So then one may wonder, okay, so if Sunita was not qualified, then why did the Supreme Lord appear in such a sacrifice? Why should the Supreme Lord himself appear to give the payasa? So Prabhupada writes, he appeared so that Anga, through his son, would become detached from the material world. That was the reason why he came. The Lord fulfills the desires of various persons in various ways so that they may gradually come back to him. This is called Dadami Buddhi Yogam Tam Yenamam Upayantite, Prabhupada writes. So basically he wanted to detach Anga. He wanted to put him on the fast track to back home, back to Godhead. So he wanted to detach him from family life, so he actually came and gave up sweet rice so that Sunita could eat it and Vena could be born, and seeing Vena, Anga can leave. Satattvam savanam ragni prashya vaipatyuradade garbham kala upavritte kumaram shushuve praja. Sa apraja ragni, that childless queen, tat prashya, she ate that food. Pum savanam, that was meant for producing a child. Patyuhu, from her husband. And when she ate it, garbham adade, a fetus developed. Kala upavritte, and in due course of time, Kumaram Sushiva, son was also born. Okay.
And Prabhupada even the purport writes, one of the 10 kinds of purificatory processes is the Pum Savanam, in which the wife is offered some Vishnu Prasad before union so that she can beget a child. Like that.
Sabala Eva Purusho Mata Maham Anuvratah Adharmam Shodbhavam Mrityam Tena Bhavad Adharmikah.
So Purushah Bala, that male child, Matamaham Anuvratah. Pitamaha means the paternal grandfather, Matamaha means the maternal grandfather, which means Matamaham Anuvratah, means he was like a follower, or he had a very similar disposition to his maternal grandfather. Prabhupada in the purport writes, generally the male child takes the character traits of mother and the female child takes the character trait of father. So Sunita would have taken the character traits of her father and Veena would take the character traits of Sunita. Okay, so Veena would have the same character trait as his mother's father, and mother's father was Mrityu. Okay, Sunita's father was Mrityu. And this Mrityu was a portion of Adharma. He was a very adharmic person. Adharma Amsha Udbhavam. So he was adharmic. So Veena was also very adharmic. In that lineage Adharma comes, and Adharma's son is Mrityu. Tena Abhavat Adharmika. Because of this reason Veena was very irreligious, because of taking the nature of his maternal grandfather Mrityu, who himself was a portion of Adharma. So Srila Vishnu Jagadagur comments here. He says, due to fault from the mother's side, he was irreligious. But because of arising from the sacrifice to Vishnu, which was created by the father's material detachment, he became beneficial to the father. Okay. So from mother's side, because he was connected to the mother's side, he was irreligious. But because he came from the sacrifice of Vishnu, Vishnu himself came and gave that payasa, because of which Veena was born. So one may wonder, Vishnu himself came, see the result of eating Vishnu Prasad. How is it that such a son Veena could be born? He said, what was the effect of birth of such a son Veena? It led to detachment in Anga. So that was the result. Okay, like that. The Lord, okay. Since he gave birth to Prithu and thereby increased the fame of the family. Okay. And because of coming from Vishnu Prasad, from that very same Veena's body, Prithu Maharaj also came, who was a Shakti Avesha avatar. Okay. So the real fruit of that sacrifice, or the real fruit of drinking that Vishnu Prasad, was Prithu Maharaj. Okay. Very interesting description. You will see. So Prabhupada writes in the purport, generally the daughter receives the qualities of the father and the son receives the qualities of his mother. Therefore Veena got the qualities of Mrityu, who was an Amsha of Adharma. Therefore, before marriage, a good assessment of both the families is made so that it doesn't lead to frustration. Sometimes the Lord arranges an unfortunate wife to his devotee for two reasons. Prabhupada writes, to enhance his detachment from the material world and to enhance his progress in devotional service. For such purpose, sometimes the Lord may arrange an unfortunate wife to his devotee, or an unfortunate husband to a devotee also. Like that.
సశరాసనం ఉద్యమ్య మృగ యర్వన గోచర హంత్య సాదర్ మృగాండీనాం వేణో సావిత్య రౌజన.
శరాసనం ఉద్యమ్య, అండ్ దిస్ వేణ, వాట్ ఆర్ హిస్ గ్లోరీస్? హీ యూస్ టు పిక్ అప్ హిస్ బో వన గోచర అండ్ గోయింగ్ టు ది ఫారెస్ట్ ఫర్ హంటింగ్. అసాదర్ మృగయు, అండ్ దిస్ ఈవిల్ హంటర్ హంతి దీనాన్ మృగాన్, హీ వుడ్ కిల్ ది అన్ఫార్చునేట్ డియర్. అరౌడ్ జనహ, వెనవర్ ది కుడ్ పీపుల్ వుడ్ సెన్స్ దట్ వేణ వాస్ అరౌండ్, దే వుడ్ స్టార్ట్ షౌటింగ్ వేణహ అసావ్, వేణహ అసావ్, హియర్ కమ్స్ వేణ, హియర్ కమ్స్ వేణ, మీనింగ్ హియర్ కమ్స్ వేణ, హీ మైట్ కిల్ అస్ ఎనీ టైమ్. That was their fear. If Vena was around, everyone was, they knew that it could be their number next. So they were like really terrified seeing Vena. So the Kshatriyas, because of the nature of their dharma, were allowed to hunt. But they could not hunt unnecessarily and certainly not for eating purpose. Okay, there is a very, I think it comes in the Puranjan pastime. Is it in the Puranjan pastime or in the Jadabharat pastime? I am not able to exactly recall. I will try to find that out. During the break I will try to find out, or if not in the next class we will see. The Kshatriya rules of conduct about hunting. What is dharmic hunting and what is adharmic hunting? That is one or two verses in that section discuss. What is dharmic hunting? Okay. So, a Kshatriyas can hunt does not mean they can hunt on any day. And what should be the impetus for hunting? What kind of animals could be hunted? Everything is very clearly described in Bhagavatam only, it is there. So therefore, Kshatriyas can hunt does not mean they can hunt on any day, any animal, nothing like that. But Vena, being very cruel due to his maternal connection, was striking fear right from the beginning.
Akride kridato balan vayasyanati darunah prahas prasakhya niranukrosha pashumaram amarayat.
Ati darunah, being extremely cruel, niranukrosha, and absolutely merciless, prasahya amare, with great violence he used to kill kridato akride vayasyan balan. He used to kill his own friends while playing. Pashumaram, as if they were animals meant for sacrifice.
తం విచక్ష కలం పుత్రం శాసనైర్వివిధై నృపః యదా న శాసితం కల్పో భృశం ఆసీత్ సుదుర్మనాః.
When the king, observing his cruel son, could not correct him by various punishments, he became greatly depressed. He understood that I am not able to do anything to correct this boy. He became very depressed.
ప్రాయేణాభ్యర్చితో దేవో యే ప్రజాగృహమేదినః కదపత్యాభృతం దుఃఖం యేన విందతి దుర్భరం.
సో అంగ వాస్ థింకింగ్ టు హిమ్సెల్ఫ్, ట్రైంగ్ టు మేక్ సెన్స్ అవుట్ ఆఫ్ దిస్ హోల్ మెస్ దట్ ఇస్ సన్ వాస్ క్రియేటింగ్. సో హీ వాస్ ట్రైంగ్ టు సీ దట్ వాట్ మెసేజ్ ఇస్ ద సుప్రీం లార్డ్ ట్రైంగ్ టు గివ్ మీ హియర్. Sangha was thinking, prayena abhyarchito deva ye apraja grahane dinaha.
I have a strong feeling that if someone, all these people who do not have children, they must have worshipped the Supreme Lord very sincerely. Because if the Lord is very pleased with someone, he would not give him a son. Like that, sometimes it's like that, you know, you hanker for something, you get it, and then later you realize, I was better off before. Like sometimes, you know, grihasthas also tell, you know, Prabhuji, achha aapne, you didn't choose. So they feel like that. After, you are very fortunate. Like that. So, Anga is thinking, I have a feeling that if the Lord is really pleased with someone, He would not give them a child. Ye na vindati durbaram dukkam. Since they do not have to suffer the intolerable grief caused by a bad son. Kad apatya brutam. Kad apatya brutam durbaram dukkam ye na vindanti. Because such people need not suffer the intolerable grief caused by a bad son. Therefore, I think it is better. It's a great benediction if the Lord does not give a son to someone. Like that Anga is thinking. Yata papiyasi kirtir adar nascha mahan ranam yato virodha sarvesham yata adir anantakaha. Yataha, because of a bad son, what does one gain? Papiyasi kirti. A person gains sinful reputation. Adharmascha mahan. And great irreligion arises from having a bad son. Because bad son means he will stop all the shraddha and all these other ceremonies by which the forefathers could be delivered. So therefore they cannot get out of their sinful reactions. Yato sarveshan dhanam virodaha. And from a bad son arises quarrel amongst everyone. Yataha adihi anantakaha. And from a bad son arises endless anxiety. So like that Anga is analyzing. So Prabhupada writes here in the purport, to not have a son is very unfortunate. But to have a bad son is like having a bad eye. Heavily infected eye. Okay? First thing, it doesn't serve the purpose. You cannot see anything using that eye. And all the more it causes great pain also. Okay? So, it is not serving the purpose of eye. At the same time, it's causing great pain. Kastam prajata desham vai moha bandana natmanaha pandito bahumanyeta yadartha klesha dagrahaha. Kaha panditaha, what intelligent person bahumanyeta would value tam vai praja apadesham. Apadesham means in name only. Which intelligent person would really value a son who is a son in name only? Moha bandhanam atmana, and who becomes the cause of one's bondage and illusion. Yadartha kleshadagraha, and because of whom the house is full of suffering. So which intelligent person would value such a son? So, Sri Vaishnava Charitra Thakur writes here about what was exactly going on in the mind of Anga. He says, the king decided that out of public shame, he would leave the house full of mental pain and worship the Lord day and night in an unknown place while taking only fruits and roots, thus making the rest of his life worthwhile. So he was thinking that people are seeing the behavior of my son. How shameful that I am not able to do anything to change his character. He says, better I will leave this home which is full of miseries, go to the forest, go to an unknown place, day and night I will worship the Supreme Lord, and at least the rest of my life let it be perfect. Let me perfect at least the rest of my life. Like that Anga was thinking. Kadapatyam varam manye sadapatyashucham padat nirvidye tagrahan martyo yatklesha nivahagraha. But even in such a distressful state, he finds some solace. Who? Anga. So he is thinking, kat apatyam sat apatyat varam manye. Actually, a bad son is better than a good son. Why? Yat klesha nivaha griha, because the house becomes a source of suffering for the person who has a bad son. Martyaha nirvidyeta grihan, and it accelerates his disinterest towards house. Very soon he becomes ready to take up vanaprastha. So he is looking forward for vanaprastha. But if he has a sadapatya, then it becomes very difficult to give up that house. Shucham padat. And one becomes disinterested in the house, which is the source of suffering. But if he has a sadapatya, then to give up that becomes extremely difficult. So therefore, when Anga is seeing some source of solace, even in such a very distressful situation, he thinks, actually it is good. That's why I'm able to, I don't have to think twice before giving up this house. But if Vena had been good, then I would not even thought of giving up the house. Like that Anga is taking some solace from this whole thing. So Prabhupada here writes in the purport that Prabhupada says that so before Sri Vaishnava Thakur says, Anga was thinking that Vena would be the cause of developing renunciation. Merciful Lord, wanting to bring me to his lotus feet, though I am blind with material enjoyment, has given me this son. Like that he was thinking. I am blind with material enjoyment. There is no way I would have taken up to worshipping the Supreme Lord if I had a good son. But now, the Lord wanting to forcefully take me to his lotus feet out of his deep compassion, he has given me this son so that I voluntarily give up the house and take his shelter. Like that. So he is seeing the Supreme Lord orchestrating the whole thing for his own benefit. What? What do you think? What should be the understanding? He is able to see the hand of Lord in... See, this understanding, whether it is right or wrong, can be assessed only looking at that person. Based on that statement, you cannot say. Because what kind of person speaks these words? That's what decides. A person who is an escapist, he can also speak the exact same words, but it may not be correct understanding for him. One who is unable to handle the responsibilities, he may want to run away by making the same statement. But a sincere person like Anga, when he makes this statement, he is actually seeing the hand of Lord. So therefore, why does Bhagavatam give these various descriptions about these people? So Anga was sufficiently glorified before Anga speaking this statement. But if someone else who was not as qualified as Anga, if he makes this statement, it could be probably because he was just trying to escape his responsibilities. So it could be the statement made by an escapist also, in which case it may be wrong. But coming from an exalted personality like Anga, it's proper understanding. So see, these things cannot be assessed this way. Okay. So, because as a king, all these various pros and cons would have been very properly assessed by Anga. So, many times we see, sometimes Maitreya Muni, Kardam Muni, or in previous chapter we saw Dhruva Maharaj also, without even enthroning his son, he leaves. So what exactly constitutes an ideal Kshatriya behavior, we can only comment when we have read the proper rules of a Kshatriya conduct. Otherwise we can only imagine, we can have our own imaginary ideal Kshatriya conduct, and we will try to match everyone up to that, up to those standards. But unless we have actually read, and these rules are extremely, it's not like one size fits all. They are extremely complicated. It also depends on the spiritual qualification of the king also. If the king is so much spiritually qualified, then even if he leaves it at this stage, it's considered okay. Or if he is like less qualified in devotional service, more of a varnashram qualified person, then he could leave at this stage. Like that, it must be a very, very tailor-made rules. These would not be like very general rules. So, generally, so therefore we may not be able to exactly comment. That's why Mahajano Yena Gatasapanta. Therefore, what exactly constitutes proper dharma can be understood only from the conduct of great personalities, and which is subsequently being commented upon by great acharyas. Then we can have access to what exactly is proper dharma. Otherwise, these dharmas are like very, very complicated dharmas. We cannot, from our very superficial understanding, we cannot comment whether it's a right act or a wrong act, because we do not know what is the ideal standard. We have not read it. Who is a Kshatriya? We do not know actually. So what constitutes ideal Kshatriya conduct also we do not know. How we can know? Based on these personalities like Anga. Therefore, the description of Anga started by mentioning that he is a Rajarshi, which means we should never have a doubt whether his code of conduct is right or wrong, because he is a Rajarshi. From his conduct we learn what is proper Kshatriya conduct. So therefore, there is no question of thinking whether his understanding is right or his conduct is right, because it starts by mentioning he was a Rajarshi. Like that. That's my understanding. Anyone wants to add? Yes, Prabhu. See, that's why, the practical lesson here I would say is Anga was a Mahajan. He was like a Rajarshi. Okay. But still, I am pretty sure that before taking this decision, he would have consulted. For sure. Even though it is not explicitly mentioned here, but definitely I would say that he would have consulted at least some very exalted brahmanas and others. Yeah, correct, it is mentioned, but still I would say that he would have consulted. This is my
So he would have, he left, I understand. But still I think that, you know, because these great Rajarshis would never act whimsically. It was not a whimsical act. It was a very carefully considered act. Okay. And that's why so much about Vena's thought process is described here. Just to give us the confidence that it was not a whimsical act of a person who was an escapist. So, everyone searched for him indicates all common people searched, but that does not mean that he would have just ran away like that without telling any, without consulting any of the authorities. Okay, I don't think that's what is described here. And certainly, this is not the act of an escapist. The same act could be performed by another person, and that could be escapism. That's why in our case, we have to consult our, proper authorities to cross-check. You know, am I getting, where do I draw the line? So generally, always these where do I draw the line questions have only one answer. You can go through the archives and Maharaj answering these questions or anyone. Where do I draw the line questions have only one answer, that is consult. You can show me if there is any other answer. Because we do not know. Because why consult? Because Mahajano Yena Gatasapanta. Because Mahajans can tell, you know, considering our, because not all of us are same level also. We all are differently qualified, our attachments are different. So they can identify where our attachment is. And then they can see whether we are trying to escape or whether we are just fighting because of our personal attachment, or we are doing it as a duty. They can identify all that. We ourselves cannot, because we tend to give ourselves the benefit of doubt. That is our nature. So therefore, the best course of action for where do I draw the line is always consult. Okay.
And there again it is said that he again went back to God. He actually became like an escapist. He was not ruling or not strict person.
It's not like that. See, what constitutes Varnashram Dharma, he might have been the son of a Kshatriya. But if his nature in the sense, but he was quite a spiritually advanced person also. And Prabhupada always talks about Bhajanandi and Goshtianandi. Okay. But in the same case, you know, like Baldev Devotion talks about two kinds of pure devotees. He says one is Nirapeksha, another is Parinishtita, Nirapeksha and Sanishta. So Sanishta is mixed devotee. Parinishtita and Nirapeksha, there are two classes of devotees. Parinishtita is one who is pure devotee, but he still performs his prescribed duties in order to set the right example. And a Nirapeksha devotee is one who is a pure devotee and he does not perform his prescribed, there is no prescribed duty for him, he need not perform and he does not perform also. But both are pure devotees. So when we are talking about pure devotees, and thinking and hearing that he had went back home back to God, there is no question of thinking that he is an escapist. First thing, you give him the benefit of doubt because he went back home back to God. Where is the question of thinking that he is an escapist? Because escapists don't go anywhere. They will escape from the spiritual world also. So that escaping mentality itself will not take anyone anywhere. Because they are escaping from responsibilities, then spiritual life also has responsibilities. They will try to escape from that also. So the fact that he went back home back to Godhead means he cannot be an escapist. And that's how we try to understand. Yeah, see, that's what now we are again and again trying to see what is beneath all these questions is the assumption that I know what constitutes proper Kshatriya conduct, isn't it? Correct. That's what now. So the fact is we are still learning. That's right. So dharmasya tattvam nihitam guhayam mahajano yena gatasapanta. So we are learning here. Okay, maybe that might not be the prime lesson, but because if how a kshatriya should, ideal kshatriya should act, if that was the prime focus, then maybe this part would have been elaborated little more, but that's not the focus of this pastime, so therefore it's left there. But definitely the decision taken by Anga would have been the right decision. That's how we should start approaching this whole thing. What I am telling is, we are not discussing whether it is right or wrong. We are just talking about the approach. Where to start addressing, how do we start approaching this problem or this apparent contradiction? By giving him the benefit of doubt and, you know, assuming that maybe I do not know, and then approach, and maybe in this pastime, because it is not the focus, it is not elaborated much, but maybe elsewhere, you know, we might get some light on this particular aspect. But certainly here the acharyas do not talk, they are not mentioning that Anga did the wrong thing by running, by shying away from his responsibility. That is not mentioned like that. Okay. Yeah. No, he didn't even do that. He left it to his ministers and he left. He left it to the elders and the ministers to take that decision and he left. Like? Dhruva Maharaj's case also, he left it to the elders and ministers and he left. He didn't choose the heir, like that. Okay. So Anga's understanding was, Vena would be the cause of developing renunciation. The merciful Lord wanting to bring me to his lotus feet, though I am blind with material enjoyment, has given me this son. That is what was Vena's thought process when he left. And Prabhupada also writes in the purport, quoting Prahlad Maharaj, who said, Hitvatma patam griham andakupam vanam gatoyat harimashraye. He tells Hiranyakashipu. And Prabhupada writes, therefore Anga thought that Vena was a good impetus to accomplish this instruction of Prahlad Maharaj. So therefore he left.
Evam sanirvinna manan rupo gruhan nishita uttaya maha mahodayodayat alabdhanidro nupalakshito mridir Hitvagato Vena Suvam Prasuktam.
In the night, Nirvindamana, filled with great disgust, Alabdha Nidrem Ripaha, the sleepless king, Uttaya, he got up, Anupalakshitaha, and unseen by anyone else, Hitva Prasuptam Vena Suvam,
giving up his sleeping wife who was the mother of Vena,
Grihan Gataha, he left the house,
Maha Udaya Udayat, which was like quite opulent and wealthy.
So here it is mentioned by Prabhupada that the words Maha Udaya Udayat, full of great wealth, indicates that by the blessings of great souls one becomes very opulent. So opulence indicates blessings of great souls. But when one gives up attachment to material opulence, it should be considered a greater blessing from great souls. There are many instances of such great souls leaving at the dead of night. Prabhupada writes, there are many instances of such great souls leaving at the dead of night.
Raghunath Das Goswami is there. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself left at the dead of night.
So these are not necessarily escapists. That's the point.
Vijnaya nirvidya gatam patim prajaha Purohitamatyasuhridganadaya Vichikyadurvyamatishokakatara Yatani godam purisham kuyoginaha.
When the citizens, priests, friends and ministers understood that he had left in disgust, in great grief, they searched the earth for him just as inexpert yogis search for the hidden Paramatma.
Yata kuyoginaha nigudam purusham,
just as inexpert yogis search for the Paramatma. So, commenting on this, Shileshna Jagadakur says that the examples of the yogis searching for the hidden super soul indicates that on that particular day, the king remained secretly somewhere in his own city. Just like the Paramatma is present within their own heart, but because they do not know the way of searching him, therefore they are called inexpert yogis. So similarly, here the prajas were searching, not knowing, but actually Anga was there in a hidden form in that very same city, but they could not find him. Probably he also joined them in searching Anga. He did not know. So Prabhupada says, the absolute truth is realized in three phases: Brahmeti, Paramatmeti, Bhagavaniti, Shabdite. Such kuyogis, matlab inexpert yogis, by their speculation can at most reach the Brahman realization, but they cannot understand the super soul. The citizens unable to find the king were like those frustrated kuyogis. Like that Prabhupada. Same thing. Just as Vishnachakirakur mentions here.
Alakshayanta tadavim prajapate hatodyamat pratyupasrityate purim rishin sameta nabivanda sashravo nyavedayanta urava bartra viplavam
upavrava uvidra. Prajapatehe tadavim alakshyantah, not finding the path of the king, prati upasritya te purim, they return back to their city. Hata udyama, in disappointment, they were disappointed at not being able to find Vena, Anga.
Sa ashravo, with tears in their eyes, sametan rishin abhivandya,
offering obeisances to the assembled sages,
nyavedayat bhartra viplavam,
they inform the sages of the disappearance of the king. They inform that our king has disappeared, like that.
So that brings us to the end of this 13th chapter. So we'll take a short 5-minute break and then we'll continue with the 14th chapter.